thank God for this hour. We are going to move right forward into our message today. At this time, minister, deacon that I've had known for over 12 years in ministry, and we've just been a blessing. You're in for a treat, because we know it's going to be the gospel of the grace of God. Amen. So we're blessed. So at this time, without any further ado, at this time, let's open your hearts to the word of God as the man of the hour, the preacher, deacon, is going to come forward now and give us the morning message to our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. At this time, let's say amen to Deacon Howard Gavin. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Certainly praise God for being here. And from the outset, we want to ask the Lord's blessing on his precious word. So won't you pray with me? Righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord God of all grace and glory and comfort, God of our peace, God of all understanding and knowledge. Lord, we pray that thou wast grant us comprehension and knowledge, Lord, of your precious word, the eternal truths, O God, that you, Lord, have provided for us in the mystery gospel, first given in Revelation to the Apostle Paul, and then unto those that were assigned to him and to the body of Christ, the churches. Lord, we pray a blessing on your people, not just here, but on our web broadcast, and those, Lord, that are listening from afar. Oh, God, we pray that you would encourage and enlighten our minds, oh, Lord God, irregardless and irrespective of the things that are going on in the world today. Lord, cause us to have and exhibit heavenly eternal viewing. For that, Lord God, is our abode. Eternal heavenlies in Christ. And we thank her and praise her. And watch over us, Lord, and bless your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians.
Amen.
The 12th chapter. And as a context, we're going to read verses 2 through 10 as a context. And I don't want to squander any time, so I think we're going to begin reading from the Interlinear Greek text. Elder William Nicholson is our designated reader. Certainly praise God for him. And if you don't have the interlinear Greek text, just read along. The King James or another translation will be somewhat similar. But we choose the interlinear Greek text because we want to get as close as possible to the intended conveyance of the original text. And in it, the interlinear Greek text, he has the Greek scripting above the English word. So if he veers off, we will know it, and we will obviously understand that it's not just what the original language has conveyed. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 2. Does everyone have it? Say amen.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, for our context and our exegesis verses this morning. Ella, you may read.
2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
I know a man in Christ before years 14,
mm-hmm.
whether in body, I know not.
Mm-hmm.
To outside the body, I know not. God knows.
God knows. Now, what Paul is alluding to here, and if in your King James, it says, "I knew a man." And again, that's just another reason why we go to the interlinear Greek text or straight out exegesis. He said, I know a man in Christ before years 14. Whether in the body, I know not, or outside of the body, I know not. God knows. Caught such a one to the third heavens, and I know such a man, whether in body or apart from the body, I know not. God knows. Paul is relating an experience that happened to him in the book of Acts, wherein he was preaching and ministering the gospel, and those legalists of the circumcision didn't like what he was preaching, and they ran him out of town. And they ran him to the next city, and they followed him there. And they ran him out of that city. And then he ended up in Antioch, and they caught up with him again, still fuming about what he was preaching. And they drug him out of the city and stoned him unto death, so they thought. But he was knocked unconscious. And during his unconscious state from physicality, the Lord caught him up to the third heavens in spirituality. He was out of the body. And same with us, when this body is destroyed in manifestation, I say manifestation because it always already is in actualization. That is what is real, what God has decreed in eternity. Yes. And everything is according to God's word, and not just when we see it. God's word calls it to exist or be real. Yes. It's realism. Man. Actualization is in God's saying, in his decree. If the Lord has said something, then that's what it is. That is its realization. And so he was unconscious in physicality, but he was very conscious in spirituality. And this is what God's people do well to understand today. There are the two us's, the us in spirituality that are right now members of the body of Christ and in the body of Christ. Yes. And there is us in manifestation, in time, in the flesh, which is temporal. In our eternal abode in Christ, no sin. In our manifestation in fleshly bodies, in time, sin nature. Corruption. So Paul was taken up to the third heavens in spirituality, and he was very much aware, but his awareness was in spirituality and according to spirituality. Read on verse 3, Elder.
Right. And I know such a man, body or apart,
in body or apart,
from the body. I know not. God knows.
In verse 4.
That he was caught up into the paradise.
He was caught up into a place of peace.
Glory to God.
And joy.
And heard unspeakable words.
And he heard not unspeakable, but that word is better. That Greek word is better. Inexpressible. And I'm going to show you why it's better. Inexpressible words, what?
Which is not permissible.
Which it is not permissible.
For a man to speak.
Now, it is not permissible because it is inexpressible. There was no natural physical expression that Paul could give to account for what he had heard and what he had experienced. There were no words of human end time vernacular in physicality to express what he had heard. It was no law against it. As King James said, it was unlawful. That word is not nomos, which would be law, but it's existi, the Greek word. And it was inexpressible because there was nothing to compare it to in physicality in time. Now, every language under heaven, it can be, the thing spoken can be spoken in another language. And in this country, English being the primary language, we would translate into English so that we could understand. But what Paul heard, it was in a different venue, the venue of spirituality in an eternality, and there was nothing characteristically like it in physicality. That's why it was inexpressible. Another thing I want to bring out. What is being relayed now did not just happen when it manifested. These are what we call aorist indicatives in the passive voice and the active voice. His hearing and his being caught up was not just in the moment. Them chasing him down and stoning him was not a happenstance. These things were decreed of God in eternity, in signified by the aorist tense. And the same thing with us in time, in these fleshly bodies. The events of our life, the circumstances of our life, the things that we go through in our natural physical life are not just happenstances. They don't just come about. They were assigned to us in eternity by God. And when we were manifested in time, they were assigned in the course of our life. Whether we like it or not. Whether we think we can deal with it or not. All right, Ella, go ahead.
For if I shall wish to boast.
All right. On behalf of such one, I will boast, but on behalf of myself, I will not boast, except in my weaknesses. Those words are better, joy and rejoice. What Paul experienced in his being caught up to the third heavens, he will joy and rejoice in that one that was experiencing in that venue, the eternal spiritual heavenly. But of myself in the flesh, I will not boast or joy or rejoice because I know that I am nothing even though I be an apostle. He said, I will not boast except in my weaknesses. Read on, Ella.
I shall not be foolish. Truth, for I will speak, but I spare, lest anyone to me reckons beyond what he sees me
or hears
of me.
Amen. He didn't want to be as one being lifted up above his brethren. Now remember who he was talking to. He was talking to the Corinthians. They were carnal. They were physical and national and secularly minded. And he didn't want to seem amongst this carnal bunch to be exalting himself or as something. And saints, we don't either. Amidst our peers, we don't want to appear, because the Lord give us 2.5 scriptures to understand, we don't want to appear to be lifted up above anyone else. Because the Lord has given us revelation, knowledge of the revelation of the mystery, we don't want any to think or assume that we are lifted up because of what's been given to us in comprehension.
Amen.
Grace humbles. Amen. It does not vaunt or lift one up. Read on, Ella, verse 7.
And by the excess of the revelations. Wherefore, lest
the mystery revelations, and even that experience of being called up to the third heaven, and by the excess of the revelations, wherefore, lest what?
I should be exceedingly uplifted.
You know, knowledge puffeth up. But charity or love edifies. It edifies the one that's experiencing it and those around. Love, charity.
There was given
to me
a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan. In order that he might buffet lest I should be
in order that he might buffet me lest I should what?
Be exceedingly uplifted.
Now this is no strange thing, an accident. The message of Satan was given to him. He was assigned to him for God's purpose, to perform a specific purpose upon a child of God. And this is not strange. We saw the same thing in the book of Job. Satan himself was allowed to go and afflict Job. Everything he had, even his own flesh, Satan was allowed to take it. So when we in our lives, when the vicissitudes of life come against us, according to this, we understand that it could not come except in the Lord had assigned it. The thing we call bad things, they are assigned to us.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you that in a minute.
Amen.
Nothing comes upon a child of God except in the Lord has ordained or decreed it. Now, I'm looking at aorist tenses in all these verses. Each one of these verses,
yes.
These events were already spoken or called or determined into existence or decreed into existence by God in order to come upon Paul.
Man.
Yes. It was decreed of God. Same thing with us. Everything is decreed. Now, we want to speak to you today from this thought. God's will for his beloved, accomplished and completed in eternity, is our best course. Again, God's will for his beloved, accomplished, that is, it has been carried out, accomplished. It has been carried out. It has been finished. God's will for his beloved, each and every one, irregardless of geography or ethnicity, God's will for his beloved has been completed and perfected in eternity. And it is, God's will is our best course. Now, an alternate title, some of you may be familiar with this alternate title. So, don't be afraid of God's will. Or, don't be afraid of what God has willed. Because if it comes, just like with Paul, a messenger of Satan was given to afflict him. And that was for God's purpose. We prioritize time. But God prioritized eternity, where we abide glorified already. Our consciences are just still manifested in physicality while these bodies are alive. But when these bodies are destroyed in manifestation, they already are, according to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 3, in actualization by God's decree, they are already destroyed. But in manifestation, when they are manifestly destroyed, then all that's left is spiritual eternal consciousness.
Thank God. Yes.
And we'll realize the glorified, peaceful state that we have always, always had in Christ Jesus. I said, God's will for his beloved, accomplished and completed in eternity, is our best course. Now I'm going to read Romans 8 and 28 to corroborate what I said. Corroboration is just bringing in testimony from another place to confirm or strengthen the main testimony. Romans 8 and 28 from the interlinear Greek text. And we know, now the King James Version, I think, has that as a perfect present indicative, that our knowing just began presently, when we know in this venue of physicality. No. That is a perfect indicative. Perfect tense is a completed action with ongoing results. Completed in God's decree in eternity.
Yes.
With ongoing effects or results in time, in the created venue or entity of time.
Yes.
And we know and do know. Know by decree, it was a sign, and do know in manifestation. That to the loving God, not the ones that love God, it gives the inference that is coming, the love is coming out of us, and it's not. The love of God is poured in us by who? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. We're born with the love of God, amen, and we're going to exemplify it. No. Amen. It is poured in us, in our spirit, and it's manifested by us according to God's will in the time slot that it was supposed to manifest. When I was out hanging, the love of God wasn't exemplified. Doing this and doing that, it wasn't exemplified. The Lord manifested it in his own time. But I belong to him in eternity, and so do all the elect of God. And we know and do know that to the loving God, all things work together. God, things don't just do like that Ouija board come together on their own. All things work together. God, or God works all things together for good. My kids won't act right. It's a purpose. God is working it together for good. If they acted right, we might think that our kids better than everybody else's kids. Mm-hmm. And exemplify it in our demeanor. Yes. You ever notice anybody that was proud and boastful and they try to hide it, but you can see it?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, give me a break. You know, eventually that person finds themselves to be obnoxious to you.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down. Come on down. And grace humbles. Everything for good. To the according to purpose called being. To those according to purpose called being. Amen. God called us according to his eternal purpose and glory.
Yes.
We are not just here, saints of God, in the created entity of time, doing the best we can, when we can, what we can. There's a purpose in God manifesting us in time. And it is for his eternal glory and our good. Everything in creation that is manifested or that God has created is for our good. We are members of the highest, the body of Christ. Everything that we go through on the street, in the home, in the workplace, in employment, in the government, under the government, in the city, in the county.
Man.
Everything is for us. Man. Good, ultimately.
Amen.
We don't like it, but it's good.
Amen.
Because there is therefore in the final analysis no condemnation to them in Christ Jesus, and we have already been glorified. It's just been veiled from us. We are glorified.
Amen.
Nothing
Amen.
But praise and glory and Amen. Strength and
Amen.
Light.
Amen.
Indulge me. One of the most deceptive, deceiving tendencies of the average saint, son, or child of God is that we too often think or surmise, as guess or imagine or suppose, or even assume that we can do, hear me, the average child of God, one of the most deceptive tendencies or traits in the average saint, child of God, is to think or suppose that we can do, carry out, or accomplish those things in the course of our earthly lives, whether they be secular, work, social, physical, whether they be secular or worldly or religiously. It's deceiving if we think that we can do those things in our life to accomplish anything on our own. According to our, here's one that really gets us to think we can do stuff. According to our resources, and the other one's right behind it. According to our knowledge, knowledge does what? Puffeth up. Charity edifies. Or our thinking, or our abilities, or our strength. Nothing could be further from the truth. If we can think that we can accomplish anything of ourselves, that's where, that's what these scriptures of our contract, the grace contract, our grace contract with God, the grace covenant, is saying and speaking to and telling us. And that is what Christ told Paul. My grace is enough. It's sufficient. As well as the scriptures in all of the other six covenants and gospels in their respective dispensations. God's elect, God's beloved, God's people could never do anything, accomplish anything in and of themselves.
Yes.
That's why the law was given. God wasn't under no illusion that they could keep the law, but to show them that they could not, the futility of the flesh, and that they needed him in the form of a Savior, to them the Messiah.
Amen.
To us, Lord Jesus Christ. As Messiah means deliverer of Israel. Listen to these from the other dispensations. Jeremiah 17 and 5. Curse be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm. Curse simply means in that instance, from the Hebrew word ara, it means hemmed in with obstacles, or rendered powerless or unable. God does not allow his beloved to do anything of themselves with and be sufficient of themselves without him, neither us. Proverbs 3 and 6. I'm just giving some corroborative scriptures. The Lord has never given his elect freedom to accomplish on their own. Proverbs 3 and 6. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Psalm 40 and 4. These are from the law. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and that's in part, that maketh the Lord his confidence. His hope. That's what trust is. His enablement. Proverbs 3 and 5. See if I can get this one right. Trust in the Lord with most of thine heart. Is that right?
No.
All right, let me see if I can... They say it's all. Let me see if I can get the other part right. And lean pretty much a little bit to your own understanding. Not. Lean not to thine own understanding. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:5, "For without me, you can do nothing." Nothing. As well as all the other scriptures and those that we are going to give today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10 in the grace contract. Sometimes, or oftentimes, or even many times, we think we can accomplish something. We think we can do something. Or other times, we think we cannot. Or sometimes we think we will do or will go. Or at other times, we think we won't. Or at other times, we think we are able. But then again, many times we find that we are not able. But what we need to know, what we need to be given to understand, given of God to understand, is that without Him, we can do nothing. It is the Lord that enables us in anything according to His eternal decree and His purpose. Ella, get me Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to quote Zechariah 4 and 6 as a corroboration. It's from the law, another covenant, another dispensation, but the same principle of God. Zechariah 4 and 6 said, "It is not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, the Almighty One." Not by power, no matter what we try. If God has not decreed it, it's not going down. Read Ephesians 2 and 10, Ella, from the interlinear Greek text, please.
"For of Him..."
"For of Him," genitive case, "of Him," God,
"we are a product."
We are a product. You know what a product is. A product is something that was produced or made. "Of Him we are made," or "are a product." Read.
"Created in Christ Jesus."
"Created in Christ Jesus."
"Under good work," and "unto works good."
"Unto works good." We were created unto works good.
"Which previously prepared."
Which, I love this. "Which previously prepared
God in order."
God previously prepared the works when they are good and they are manifested. God previously assigned them to us.
Glory to God.
We don't just get out there and do things good. They were previously assigned. Read that part again, Elder. Let's make sure we get this right. That last part again.
Okay.
"Unto works good."
"Unto works good." "Which previously prepared."
"Which previously prepared God." And I can tell you when previously it was done. In His eternal decree. In eternity.
"In order that."
"In order that."
"In them."
"In them."
"We might walk."
"We might walk," having walked. That's an aorist subjunctive. Aorist tense, we walk. Subjunctive mood, the probability, not always, but when God manifests us to walk in works good. Do we always walk in works good? Now listen to what Jesus said now. He said, "If a man thinketh a thing in his heart, he's already committed. If we hate our brother without a cause, we're the same as murderers." Praise God. If we think, if we do, amen. If it's good, God has to enable it. Bless His name. Now, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. I tell you what, read verse 7 again, Elder.
And by the excess of the revelations.
Excess of the revelations?
Wherefore,
mm-hmm. Lest I should be exceedingly uplifted.
There was given to me.
Mm-hmm.
A thorn in the flesh.
A disabling feature. Or a lingering, discomforting feature. Uh-huh.
A messenger of Satan.
A messenger of Satan was given to do this to me by the Almighty God who is our Father. Why?
In order?
That me.
He might buffet. Lest I should be.
It's like one striking with the fist. Buffet. Lest I should be what?
Exceedingly uplifted.
Exceedingly uplifted. A message of Satan was given. Saints of God, your trials, your troubles, your tribulations are a sign. They
Amen.
Are a sign
Amen.
Unto us of God.
Amen.
The devil don't just come and just thump you upside the head, so to speak, when he feel like it, or take something when he feel like it. Mm-hmm. It's purpose of God. God controls everything. Paul said, we got to get it straight today. Mm-hmm. Paul said, for concerning this, three times, some of us have been praying for years for a certain deliverance, and it hasn't happened yet. It's not according to God's will, which we're going to see scripturally. Mm-hmm. Some of us have been trying to get rid of something or somebody for years. But if God has not decreed it, it ain't happening.
I hear you.
For concerning this weakness, this infirmity, three times, the Lord, I begged, I asked, I appealed, in order that may go away from me, having gone away from me, this infirmity, Paul said. I said unto you earlier, things regarding our lives, the events, the circumstances, the happenings, and all did not just come about on a daily basis. They Amen. Were decreed from eternity.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Assigned everything to us that is assigned.
Amen.
He begging, it was decreed of God, indicative errors. May go away, having gone away. His prayers were according, as our prayers should be, Lord, according to your will. Because sometimes we close every prayer in knowledge.
Right.
We align with God's will. Lord, we can ask, we have the right to petition, and Paul did just that. He begged, he asked, he appealed. But he said, in order that it may go, having gone away. In other words, it's an aorist subjunctive. If the manifestation of it is according to your will, Lord, to go away from me, as it must have been ordained or decreed, otherwise it couldn't come upon me. The message of Satan could not buffet me. Let's corroborate and back this up in Scripture. Elder, get me 1 John and turn with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to take three verses from there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. We even got our prayers mixed up. We act like the Lord ought to do something that we ask him to do. We have a right to petition. Put our petition before the Lord at any and all times and in every petition. But that's not the final analysis of it. You have it, Ella? Begin reading at verse 13.
These things
John wrote
I wrote to you.
Uh-huh.
In order that ye may know.
That was even decreed. Aorist indicative. The writing of it and who's writing it was decreed. Saints, there is nothing left for chance in manifestation of creation, in physicality, and in time. Time itself is a creation to manifest God's will and purpose. Mm-hmm. It's for testimony only. That's all time is for. God need not prove nothing to himself. He spoke time into existence to manifest his will and his purpose in all creation and all his beloved lives.
Amen.
We're not just going through stuff for God to gloat or say you should have been stronger. No. We are coursed in this life.
Amen.
It's a course that God has assigned to us. Some of it we're not going to like. You think Paul liked the thorn in the flesh?
Amen.
No. You think like we like putting up with some of the things we put up? No.
Amen.
But the sufferings are not worthy to be compared. Amen. They're not in the same venue of existence. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory. The sufferings. They're nothing in comparison. Even though they are great as we go through them in our physical being. But they are nothing in comparison to our final manifested glory in the body of Christ in eternality. Read, Ella.
That ye may know that
life. That ye may know that what?
Life ye have.
Life you have.
Eternal.
Uh-oh. Eternal.
To the believing.
Anytime you see the word eternal, you can toss time out of the universe. There is no time in eternity. None. Eternity is. Time had a beginning and it has an ending. Read the book of Revelation when the strong angel came down and had a book in his hand, lift his hand to God, stepped one foot on the earth and the other one on the sea, and swore by him that liveth forever, that is God, that there would be time no more. When God is through with time, it's done away with.
Glory.
We were not saved in time. We were not called in time. We don't have to see about a word about getting saved in time or getting through time. We just here visiting. Mm-hmm. Our abode is eternally in the heavens in Christ Jesus. For we were, can't get away from Ephesians, Sister Lippin. We were chosen in him. Were chosen in him before creation or before the foundation of the world, being holy or separated at that time. God separated the elect, his own, his dear ones, from the non-elect. If you don't believe it, read Romans chapter 11 and chapter 9. The elect from the non-elect. He separated us. And we're blameless. Blameless.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You mean tell me that when I was a rascal, a rascaler, you mean I was.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's not judge anything before the time. Nothing. What do y'all know Paul's occupation to be before he was knocked off his beast on the Damascus Road? His occupation was focused on persecuting unto death, if need be and necessary, and many times it was, to him, them, Christians, those that believe on Christ.
Yeah.
That was his pursuit. He was mad against it, and he thought he was doing God service, but he just didn't know it. He was killing Christians purposely, intently, eagerly. So I say that to say this. No matter what goes on in Florida or anywhere else in the world, everything is according to God's purpose.
Right.
Everything is according to God's purpose.
Yes.
We have an appointed time to be manifested in time, whether it's 6 months, 9 months, or no months. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 10 years, or 17 years, or 40 years, or 80, or 100 years. Mm-hmm. We all have an appointed time to be manifested in time for God's purpose, and then when that is expired, we are out of here.
That's right.
All of us.
That's right. Amen.
God determines our extent.
Amen. Amen.
Of manifestation in time.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
Is according to God's purpose. Don't
Amen.
You get bent all out of shape about nothing.
That's right.
Be merciful, prayerful, sympathetic, apologetic, graceful, mm-hmm. gracious. But don't let anything, pray God, we don't let anything bend us all the way out of shape.
Amen.
Because some powerful things going to come down in this country, coming down the pike in the
Amen.
Years and months to come.
Amen.
Read Ella, please. I know.
You
may know that what?
Life.
Life?
You have eternal.
We have eternal life. We have. We're not trying to get. We have it. We have it.
To the one, to the believing.
Uh-huh.
In the name of the Son of God.
To the believing on the name of the Son of God. Yes?
And this.
And this is the verse I want to mainly get to. And this.
Is the confidence which we have.
Is the confidence that we have.
Toward him.
Toward him.
That if anything we ask.
If. Anything we ask. Now here is the part we want to grasp and keep in mind. What?
According to the will of him.
According to the will of him. The scripture tells us we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers and he aligns our prayers with the will of God. Even the kingdom prayer says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the kingdom. And that's what we're reading and corroborating from here right now.
Amen.
Is John, the kingdom apostle in the kingdom gospel. We know that if we ask anything according to the will of God, Paul asked to be delivered from the infirmity of thorn in the flesh. It wasn't happening because it was not God's will.
That's right.
We want out. We want all the way out. We had enough of this. We had enough of that. We can't stand this. We're tired of this.
Amen.
But it's according to God's will.
Amen.
Whether we are delivered or not. Amen. We are eternally his children. Irrespective and irregardless of whatever goes down in the manifested entity of time and physicality. We're going to leave this anyway. It's gone.
Uh-huh.
It just has not been manifested. We are eternally children of God. Glorified already.
Uh-huh.
We are a product of him, says Ephesians 2:10. And all creation is just God's production. Just like Avatar and Titanic. More so. It's God's production. It's what manifests is what God purposed. That's all that's going down. That's all that's going down. In our lives, in our homes, in our relationships, in the government, in the neighborhoods, is what God has decreed. But ours is not here.
Man.
Ours is not here. We don't have to embrace all the things around us socially, economically, politically. Yes, do your civic duty, but we don't have to get wrapped up and embraced and tied up in every little thing and get mad when it don't go according to our will.
Man.
Even the kingdom prayer again.
Glory.
Thy will is done.
Amen.
It's already done.
Amen.
We are just seeing what God has already eternally decreed. We are just witnessing it. According to his will, then he hear us.
He hears.
And verse 15, if it's according to his will, then he will hear with an intent of delivering or performing that for which we've asked. If it's not according to his will, as in the case of Paul and the infirmity in the flesh, forget it. But we close. We don't know. His will is not always revealed unto us, so we close every prayer. Lord, according to your will. Nothing here can hinder us. Nothing here can interrupt what we have eternally in Christ. Nothing. 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 How you break it down? No thing. Finish that 15. Finish 15, Ella.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if we know that he hears us,
and he,
what,
with intent to perform that which we ask.
Whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him.
From him. If it's according to his will. That's the only way it's going down. Verse 9. Back to 2 Corinthians. And he has and did say. We have an indicative perfect tense in this verb. It's an indicative perfect. Indicative mood is a fact. A fact is a thing that's done. If it's not done, it cannot be a fact. If it's not accomplished or finished, it cannot be a fact. An indicative perfect. Perfect tense again, a completed action in eternity through God speaking it into existence and the manifestation of it or the effects of it ongoing in time. And he has said, I told you stuff wasn't just jumping up. All this was eternally orchestrated or decreed. All of this. This incident. This prayer that Paul prayed. This infirmity. This messenger of Satan. All of it was decreed eternally before creation. And he has and did say to me, after I asked him to move the thorn in my flesh, the Lord Jesus said to Paul, sufficient, enough, satisfied, pleased, gratified, content, you. That's what he told Paul. Sufficient, you, and certainly you and I, the grace of me. We are graced beyond human comprehension. We are eternally in Christ Jesus right now. When the production of time and circumstances and events is over, we'll see in manifestation what already and always was. Sufficient to us the grace of the Lord. For indeed the strength, the power, the capacity, and the ability in weakness, in our weakness. That's why I went through that. We think we can accomplish or carry out things in this life. We cannot. It's fictitious. We cannot. God has to have decreed it in existence in order for it to be accomplished. For indeed the strength in weakness is completed. The strength of him in our weakness is completed. Paul said, after the Lord had given him understanding, I pray God give us understanding. Gladly then, therefore, much more, all the more, I will boast, I will glory, I will joy, I rejoice in the weakness of me in order that may rest, having rested upon me, the power and that of Christ. May rest is a subjunctive aorist. The power of Christ resting upon him was in the decree of God in eternity. When it would manifest, as in this particular instance Paul is going through, that's when it's manifested upon me. the power.
Thank you.
And that of Christ.
Lord.
I want one more encouragement from Scripture. Ella, get me 2 Timothy 1 and 9. 2 Timothy, turn with me, saints. But hold, I have one more verse in 2 Corinthians. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9. And Ella, you can read it from the interlinear. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 9. Most of the time, our worrying is about nothing. Most of the time, our fretting is about nothing.
You ready?
Yes.
Knowing this, that for a just man,
is that 2 Timothy?
Oh, wait.
2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Because everything, I say our fretting is about nothing, our stressing is about nothing, because all of it is temporary, and we in our true existence are eternal. It's just for a moment. And it was a sign. It didn't just come out left field. Just like the message of Satan was given to buffet Paul and give him a thorn in the flesh, our problems, our vicissitudes, our troubles, the things we call bad things are a sign unto us. But we listen to what the word say. We just glorify. We just too blessed. Read it, Ella.
To the having saved us.
To the having saved us. We don't get saved in time. Or when you're about 20 years old. No, about 35 or 45 or 50. When we figure we're sold enough wild oats. Now I get saved now. No. If you're saved, you were saved in eternity. You came here saved in manifestation. You might not have known it, but our knowing does not cause things to exist. Yes, Ella?
Having saved us and...
The having saved us and what?
Having called.
And having called.
Calling.
Us. Calling.
With a holy...
A separated...
Not according to the works of us.
I love this part. Thank you, Jesus. Not according to the works of us. We were called, we were saved, not according to the works of us. Thank God. Not according to the works of us. It's by His grace. You know, God is perfect in righteousness, and He requires a perfect righteousness.
But we're
not able.
That's it.
Read, Ella.
But according to...
Not according to the works of us, but according to what?
Own purpose.
His own purpose.
And grace.
Grace. We can't get away from it. We are saturated in it and with it. Grace! Hallelujah. Read, Ella.
Given to us in Christ Jesus.
Given to us in Christ Jesus.
Before times eternal.
Before time. Before creation, time is a creation, my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Before times, eternal. There's no time in eternity. Eternity, no beginning, no ending. I know our finite minds, our limited minds cannot fully grasp eternity, but we will. Mm-hmm. When we are manifested there. We are manifested in time now and have time consciousness or physical consciousness. But when this body is gone and we're separated from it, we'll have eternal spiritual consciousness and we'll know. Verse 10 and finally. Therefore, Paul said,
but,
I take pleasure. Oh, you didn't finish that, Ella?
I finished verse 9.
That's it. Wonderful. Okay. Therefore, back to 2 Corinthians 2 and 10. 12 and 10. Therefore, saints, we have three superordinating conjunctions in verses 9 and 10. We got three of them. And here's one. In order that may rest, having rested upon me the power and that of Christ, verse 10, therefore, or for this reason, superordinating conjunction. This trumps whatever is said. I take pleasure And I pray, God, he enable us to do this. I take pleasure in weaknesses. I take pleasure in insults or mistreatment. Remember Christ when he was reviled? What he did? He said, "You're another one." No, he did not. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. We don't have to struggle and fight with nobody in traffic and on the job. Lord, help us.
Thank you, boy. Yes. Amen.
We might not want to see what they get out with, no way. I take pleasure in weaknesses. This is not ours. We don't have to defend here. Our existence here. This is not our ultimate existence. I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities. You know what necessities are. I'm short of this. I'm short of that. Don't seem to have enough of this to go around. In persecutions. Persecutions are oppressions for the holding of an opinion or subject to persistent ill treatment. You oppress for holding a certain opinion, whether political, social, whatever, or personal, or subject to persistent ill treatment. I take pleasure in difficulties, stuff that's not easy. For Christ, for whenever or whenever I may be weak, then or at that time, strong, not in myself, but enabled, possible, I am. Praise God.
Glory.
Saints of God.
Thank God.
Christ is our help. He is our abode. He is our life. He is our joy. He is our rejoicing. He is our all. He is our deliverer. He is our righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. He is our existence. We have no existence but Christ. This again is gone.
Glory to God.
Paul said, "For me to live, Christ, and to die, gain." No, we are not suicidal, but we know that when the earthly house of this tabernacle may be having been destroyed, we have a building of God. Not made with hands. Eternal.
Glory, yes.
In the heavenlies. And it's the body of Christ. Be encouraged, saints. God bless you. Give the Lord another hand. Amen.